Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back in here, but I'm clearly overdressed and I forgot about the comfort of the Village Church. So I appreciate your grace this morning, not only for that, but for in many different ways. You want the best news ever right off the bat? Can I give the best news? Is that all right? We are proven. You can stop trying to prove yourself and proving that you are good enough. All we need to do is follow our ABCs. If you remember that good old statement, accept God's word as truth, actively believe, and then call out to him in confession, and just simply live out the greatest commandment, to love God and love each other. We simply need to receive what has already been done for us. We are proven in him. You don't need to prove anything. Jesus has proven it all. Amen? All right, should we just call it good for the service? That's enough, right? I mean, how does it get any better than that? Thank you for allowing me to be here today. As Pastor Ken stated, my wife and I began with the Village Church when it started at the high school many years ago. And as our family grew and different needs arise, we went back to Faith Community Church. And they aren't here right now. They are serving there this morning, so we couldn't find subs as much as they wanted to be a part of this, to see so many familiar faces and be a part of this. That is my greatest blessing, those people right there. And my family has so many fond memories and relationships here at the Village. And certainly it was a very important part of our own faith journeys and our foundation. These children continue to amaze me daily. They are a lot older than maybe some of you may remember. And they're growing up way too fast. But they're fantastic, and they know God. And that's the greatest thing us as parents ever desire, is that, of course, that our children know God as we do as well. I am currently serving as the Area Director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I've been in this role for about 8 months now. After volunteering for 20 years, my wife and I served FCA in different ways through our home, at school, and at camps, and our kids grew up in that. But after 24 years in education, as a coach, as a teacher, as a director, as an administrator, felt called to step into a more direct role and serve greater than just volunteering. I'll speak more about FCA and its purpose and its impact later on in the message. An impact that will be increasing in Baldwin-Woodville very soon and all around us beyond, so praise God. Of course, it's summertime, albeit creeping towards fall, and that means enjoying an abundance of available and wonderful fruit from gardens and trees, right from our own backyards to roadside stands or local grocery stores. And quite frankly, from a food vantage point, this is my favorite time of the year. We literally see the product of our labor after weeks of planting, weeding, watering, to preparing it and enjoying it, and knowing that it is really good and healthy for us and tastes just a little bit better than something you perhaps buy. And despite being a farm-raised child, and my parents still farming, I'm in awe of the whole seed-to-product process. And I praise God while also praying for rain, again being a farm boy, every morning on my walk, when I walk amongst the cornfields and the alfalfa and such on my rural roads. Thank you, God, for everything that you provide and everything you're doing. And just as we are growing these seeds with a purpose, for the results of beautiful flowers or food to consume, we should also be growing with a purpose to abide in God and become fruitful as believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let's review some of John 15 this morning together. And then I want to demonstrate how this particular concept will be impacting millions, literally millions of coaches and athletes, supporters, volunteers, and staff throughout the upcoming school year. Let's pray first. Almighty Father, please open our hearts to your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit move and prompt us to a deeper connection and understanding that leads solely to glorifying you, God. with all of our words and actions. In your heavenly name, amen. With food, a fruitful plant or tree is obvious. Success can be seen based on the product we receive. An apple tree full of apples is what we want. However, being fruitful as a child of God, that means more than what may be obvious to the eyes. Being fruitful means constantly remaining in God, to abide. In prayer and in conversation with God, or in the quiet of our homes as we study and read through the Bible, growing in character and spiritually maturing through the transformation of our heart, our mind, and actions to align with God's will and the example of Jesus. Living with greater purpose than to simply seek worldly desires or those of the flesh, and serving to impact others in the name of love and glorifying God. Bearing fruit for God takes intentional focus and commitment. With a guarantee, as the Bible says over and over, we are going to have trials, we're going to be in the valleys. That will occur through our life, our process. But the book of John, among others, will help us with the concept of becoming fruitful. First, who is John? A little context about this book. He is one of the original 12 disciples chosen and trained by Jesus. Written a long time ago, John wrote this particular book to make it clear there is only one God, a very personal God who, thankfully, we benefit from today, full of mercy, grace, and provides sacrificial love to any and all who are willing to accept it. A little further, a little side note, I guess, in theology. And yes, I made this slide really, really small. For all of you note takers, I hope that's frustrating. And for the rest of you starting to doze off, you got to perk up a little bit, you got to squint, you got to start looking. But several Old Testament and New Testament passages echo and support the theme of fruitfulness. Isaiah 27, God is the keeper of his vineyard, watering and protecting it. Psalm 80 is the keeper of his vineyard, watering and protecting it. God is. And so on in the Old Testament. John isn't simply making something up here, and beyond the book of John, in other New Testament books, they demonstrate fruitfulness as well. For example, in Philippians, filled with the fruit of righteousness to the glory of God. You get my point. Theologically speaking, these verses connect because they all point to God's people as his vineyard, that's the Old Testament, and to abiding in Christ, the New Testament, as a source of fruitfulness and glory. The vineyard imagery shows God's care, discipline, and purpose for his people, while the New Testament passages show the result of abiding, fruit, love, and glorifying God. Let's read through John 15, 1 through 12, and then 19. At this point, I wanted to say, and in your pew Bibles, please, but we don't have pews anymore, right? And certainly you can look on your phone or your own Bible, or you can follow along here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken in you. Proven, if I may interject there. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, and it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. I want to specifically focus on John 15:5, however. Perhaps one of the more recognizable and known verses, memorized and meaningful, inspirational and encouraging, because it is quite clear. Like a branch attempting to provide a product, let's say grapes. I recall a message many years ago by Pastor Ken, who is an expert in making wine and using grapes, speaking in depth to the process and the necessity of cutting off and removing branches. But there is no way that a product can occur unless the branch remains attached to a vine. Its main and only source of water and nutrients that are necessary for growth. Well, the same goes for all of us. Apart from Jesus as our vine, we as a branch cannot produce a life that glorifies God. And what are these signs of a fruitful life? Walking in obedience. Not sometimes. Daily, as much as we can. I've heard it said that partial disobedience is still disobedience. Really kind of hit me across the forehead. I can't pick and choose. I can't be obedient here and produce the fruit God wants if I'm still disobedient in other areas. Being connected with God. You're here this morning. You made a choice to come to church, to be with others, and to connect with God beyond your Bible, beyond reading, beyond your small groups, beyond your mentorships. And I have no doubt you serve others. That is a sign of a fruitful life, no matter what that is, big or small, and in different ways. We all have abilities and ways and time to serve others. And we are reminded in Matthew 7:20, we should be identifiable as Christians. People should know it based on our words and actions. As children of God who have declared, we believe Jesus came to this earth in human form as God to sacrifice his life, but then defeat death as he took on our penalty for sins, for our sins, so that we may have eternal life with our Creator, our Father in heaven. You're also well aware of Galatians and what it says about the fruit, what that fruit should be. Our evidence, the fruit of a life led by God that we should bear. Let's read this together. Again, I got to keep you awake this morning. Let's work right down. Ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Now, I'm a competitor, I'm an achiever, and I also like lists of to-do and get things done. Folks, this is not a list of to-do. This is not a checkbox. This becomes who we are, our lifestyle, and it flows through us. I want to share some examples, perhaps, of fruits of the Spirit. Bethany Hamilton, that may ring a bell, a big-time surfer who at age 13 lost an arm to a shark attack. You maybe have even seen the movie, read some of her materials. She was a devoted young Christian, and she used her faith to rebuild her life and her career. She returned to competitive surfing, winning national titles and inspiring millions through her story. But the bigger part of that is her perseverance. It reflected goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness in the face of adversity. How about Paul's joy in prison? In Philippians 4, talks about him maintaining joy and demonstrating how joy, peace, and self-control can be cultivated regardless of the circumstances. We can draw from this to stay positive and disciplined even in our tough seasons, because they're guaranteed. How about Daryl Strawberry? Some of you might remember him in the 80s and 90s, a great baseball player. He derailed his potential Hall of Fame career through addiction and legal issues. At his lowest point, he turned to Christ. And today he is a pastor and an author. His transformation, again, shows faithfulness, patience, and self-control, proving that no setback can defeat God's grace. So how do we grow spiritually into these fruits and show that evidence? Well, I'm convinced it's through small, consistent habits or actions, daily, small, consistent actions or habits. You don't just write a book. That takes time and it takes consistent actions, and all of a sudden that book is complete. You don't all of a sudden achieve a goal. It takes small, consistent actions, and then all of a sudden that goal is completed. Some ways to do so is to pray daily and actually throughout the day. You heard Pastor Ken say, God wants to hear from us in our anger, our frustration, our praises. We need to be in communication. We need to study the Bible. It's the Word of God. Greatest book ever written. Stay faithful and trust the process even when it's hard. Serve others in the name of love even when you don't want to. And remain connected to God as much as possible through others, through fellowship. Why do this? Because as Colossians states in 1:10, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. What's growing in you? We can be in different seasons of our lives, and God is revealing and refining us. Perhaps you are working through something right now. For example, faith in difficult seasons, wisdom for decisions to make, patience through a process you want to complete yesterday, love for people, maybe it's your spouse, family members, co-workers you're struggling with, gentleness as parents, purpose through obedience, servant leadership and what that looks like. Let's stop and go into prayer again, thinking about what's growing in us and wanting to bear fruit. I'm just going to pause for 10, 15 seconds and give you a moment to pray about what God is growing in you as we think about fruitfulness, and then I'll close it. Lord, help me remain rooted in you. Teach me to grow in wisdom, love, and obedience. Let my life produce fruit that honors you and blesses others. In Jesus' name, amen. When I said close, if you were hopeful that was the end of the sermon, it is not. Okay. Ken told me 11:30 I got till, so I got a lot of time here, folks. All right. Hey, let's make some declarations. And again, I think we say these out loud. I think we do it together. Let's unite, because I think that's helpful to speak it out, do it together, and make some declarations today that might help us begin or continue the process of bearing spiritual fruit. Will you say these with me? I am planted in God. I will grow in faith. I will flourish in purpose. My life will bear good fruit. Everything God has called me to do will prosper in his timing. Thank you. Let's remain in and with God and be fruitful. Now I want to show you my most complicated slide for today. This is the one that took the most thought, the hardest. I'm just kidding. There's my humor, folks. This is symbolism here, my friends. Well, we just spent the last 12, 13 minutes talking about is to set up what's next. I'd like to take some time to share with you about the powerful ministry of FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a ministry that is rapidly impacting Northwest Wisconsin and really across the United States and beyond. And that's a good thing. I believe you will agree, especially considering our heightened culture of sports today in a very self-serving, performance-driven society, and that it's really easy to get caught up in that, whether it be sports, work, relationships, things, whatever it may be. So first, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of FCA. So what is it? At its foundation, This began in the 1950s when some very influential athletes and coaches saw an opportunity to use sports and their fame as a platform for expanding God's kingdom by sharing the gospel and making disciples who make disciples. Today, FCA is impacting lives all the way from youth, second grade, to the pro sports, from football to surfing to motocross and much more. And it's actually expanded into international ministry back in 2012, all based on living out the Great Commission, which you know from Matthew 28. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." So what FCA's vision is about discipleship. And we want to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And that aligns with the mission to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. But I want to take it a step further. FCA connects coaches and athletes and their families to local churches like The Village as well. I've seen it. In my 20 years as a volunteer and running huddles, think of a youth group, at school, FCA has access into the schools. We get to be there and influence. And in our homes, I've seen my children's friends come to FCA. Why? There's fun, there's food, but then they get to hear about Jesus. And all of a sudden they want to come to youth groups at churches. And then they want to go to church. And their parents who weren't a part of churches are seeing their kids transformed and they want a part of it. And all of a sudden they're becoming a part of local churches. So how do we do this? How do we have an intentional strategy to develop and foster a relationship with Jesus and create disciples? It's called E3. Jesus gives a clear command. His disciples, us, we're all disciples, are to make more disciples. The command gives direction along with the authority necessary to fulfill the task. FCA calls this discipleship multiplication. We define discipleship in two parts: personal transformation, continual growth, and public multiplication. The E3 journey will engage coaches and athletes, equip them, and then empower them to go with the principles for both personal transformation and public multiplication. It's a beautiful process, and I've been fortunate to see it happen over and over, not because of me, but because of people that God have placed in the right positions to help deliver the message and be present and let the Holy Spirit go to work. None of us were just created to sit and receive. We're all created to go and make. So what does that look like in the upcoming school year, 26-27, for FCA? Well, each year, FCA develops a biblically supported theme of focus, all for camps, training, materials, resources, etc., that are then developed to support spiritual maturity around the same verses and topic. While athletes and coaches were surveyed across the United States, and the results were very, very clear. There's a massive struggle with pressure to constantly prove themselves and their worth being connected to their performance, their success on a scoreboard, what team they make, or if they're going to play at the next level. The anxiety and the mental health coming from this, not just in athletics, we're feeling it in our worlds as well, as parents, as siblings, as employees, employers, we're feeling that same type of pressure. Sticking with sports related, however, research is showing that up to 70% of kids before the age of 13, before they become a teenager, are walking away from sports. Because of the pressure, it's not fun anymore, and it doesn't bring what they're desiring. And they want to stop, and they're going to find another outlet. And again, that's where FCA is stepping in to help understand greater purpose, and the value is not connected to that performance. And so that's where I spoke to fruitfulness today. John 15:8 is FCA's theme verse this year, meaning it's a part of everything and all that we do from this past summer till next summer. The theme that over 1,000 students, already this summer in our area alone, grades 2 through college, coaches, other ministry partners were introduced to this summer. I'll share more about that in a little bit. But 15:8 states, "My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." You are proven already. We want to take athletes and coaches, but really when I look at this slide, it's all of us, from a journey of being focused on proving themselves based on performance to instead knowing they're already proven and to bear spiritual fruit that points others to Jesus. Thankfully, they have many examples to follow in the world of pro in college sports. Tim Tebow, one of the biggest names in college and pro sports for many years, first because of his success as a very intense football player that had national titles and earned everything you could want to earn, but because he was also very outspoken and passionate of his purpose to glorify God and love of Jesus, and he is now a very active advocate against human trafficking. He sums it up very well. And he said, and he believes and lives out in pursuit of bearing fruit, "I don't have to live up to the world's standards because God already loves me. I don't have to earn it." That captures the heart of John chapter 15 and what we spoke about. Athletes often have to chase recognition, applause, and achievement. But when a competitor knows their identity is already secured in Christ, they can play with freedom, not fear. So what does this mean for FCA? Well, we're at the crossroads of two powerful worlds, faith and sport. Sports, which they perform to be valued. You have to perform to be recognized and valued, as opposed to Jesus, who says, "You are valued. Now perform freely." Another name you might be aware of, LeBron James in a Nike commercial stated, "Being a winner is a curse. It doesn't matter how much you've won before, you're not a winner until you win again and again. Nothing is enough." And LeBron captures the contrast between sports and the gospel perfectly. In sport, your identity hinges on your latest performance. We could insert work, we could insert relationship, we could insert a bunch of things there. And you must earn it. But in the gospel, your identity hinges on Christ's performance for you. And you can't earn that. It's already given. You can't even lose it. You can't earn or lose that. It's already there for you. We want to take people from proving their worth to proving in Him and understanding that it's already done. So how do we do this? We have specific content narratives from the Bible that are applicable to athletics. First, we want to connect. Psalm 127 is really clear. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Jesus plus nothing is everything. We must make Jesus our true foundation. Cultivate. We're going to cultivate this. We're going to look to abide and stay with the vine. Fruit is both character and results. It does not come from us, but it flows through us. We're going to choose to love like Jesus. Every choice matters, and we're going to obey His voice. Sacrifice is required to make Jesus your choice. And then we're going to commit. We're going to grow through our challenges, not go through it. You know why this is happening? Because Pastor Ken said actually I had to be done at 11, and it's 11, and I got like 5 more slides I want to talk through. So you win, whoever back there. And I'm going to end with this, and I would love to talk further with you afterwards. FCA is not, in fact, it's very similar to the Village Church. If that content narrative is ringing true, it's because this call to connect, cultivate, choose, and commit is exactly how we live out the gospel together at the Village Church. When you remain in Christ, you are living the church's mission to make disciples who know Jesus and follow Him daily. Cultivating Christ-like character shapes the community and the church seeks to be gospel-centered, grace-filled, and growing in holiness. Choosing priorities that honor Christ advances the church's purpose of every member engaging in the gospel mission. In short, abiding in the vine is how the village church becomes a people proven in Christ. I do want to invite you to join the mission of FCA. We are growing and opportunities are wide open. In Baldwin itself, there will be a huddle started at the middle school in Viking and at the high school as well. There are coaches connecting with us, and we have things in place, and there are athletes ready to go. That should be encouragement and exciting to know that we're going to help the local churches, help young athletes and coaches bear fruit in the Baldwin and Woodville communities. But there's an invitation for you to partner and help. Time, talents, and treasures, it's all a part of what we need to serve. And I would love to talk further with you about that, how you can become a part of our vision. Again, and that's to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. I'll leave the stage here in a minute. Pastor Ken, you certainly can come up. Just a reminder, you don't need to prove anything. Jesus has proven it all. As 2 Corinthians shares, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.